We welcome all our special guests and devotees to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. Today we are celebrating the third day of our five-day festival in honor of the appearance of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We just witnessed a very devotional drama, which was spontaneously enacted by some of our brahmacharis and congregation, depicting how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu honored the exclusive devotion in the heart of Srivas Thakur. And on that basis of that devotion, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu caused a dead child to come alive. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is to bring life to the dead. In this age of Kali Yuga, there are many, several billion dead corpses in the form of human lives, walking around, running around, struggling hard, trying to enjoy the charms of material nature. In fact, of the 8,400,000 species of life within these universes, there are innumerable corpses. But spiritually, people are dead. Death means forgetfulness. When we forget our eternal constitutional position, that we are part and parcel of Krishna, we are an eternal soul, Satchit Ananda. And our real life is to serve Krishna and to love Krishna. Without that knowledge, we are spiritually in a state that is like a dead man. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended in this age of Kali Yuga to bring life to the spiritually dead, to awaken us from our sleeping condition through the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And just as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered that dead child because of the heartfelt affection that was in the heart of Srivas Thakur, his devotee. Similarly, the only means of receiving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or the Supreme Personality of Godhead's mercy, which will bring us life, is when we become dear to his devotee. This, in fact, is the essence of the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya taught us that we should not aspire for the higher position of being a personal associate of the Lord. Rather, we should aspire for the lower position of being the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord's devotees. Who is Lord Chaitanya? He is Krishna. In the mood of his own pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani, coming to taste the ecstasy of devotion and distribute that devotion to the world. We may be great scholars of the scriptures, but let us carefully analyze exactly how Lord Chaitanya taught us to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in what mood he chanted the holy name and taught the Yuga Dharma. Lord Chaitanya did not display his ecstasies of love of God on a permanent level until he first went to Gaya, where he was initiated by Srila Ishwarapuri. Why did he specifically choose Ishwarapuri, of all the great personalities, to be his spiritual master? Everything the Lord did was to instruct us of what we have to imbibe in order to be Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness is not a cheap thing. It's not just by coming to the temple and eating some prasad that you're going to become a pure devotee. That is a gradual process by which you will be influenced by the Lord's mercy. But we have to understand and practice what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates wanted to teach us. He is the Supreme Lord. He approached Ishwarapuri because Ishwarapuri was such a perfect, humble servant of the servant. When his Guru Maharaj, Madhavendra Puri, was on his deathbed, he felt so grateful and fortunate to perform the service of cleaning the stool and urine from the aged body of his Guru Maharaj. With no pride, he was simply trying to satisfy his Guru Maharaj by constantly speaking the glories of Krishna and chanting his names. When Lord Chaitanya accepted initiation, he followed the same principle. He presented himself as being ignorant, lost in illusion, begging for mercy. And after he received the holy name from his guru and the order to preach it, he humbly served his spiritual master. The very food that he was about to eat after fasting for a long time, he served with his own loving hands to his spiritual master. He wanted to teach us He wanted to teach us that we should be willing to put aside all our personal comforts, all of our personal necessities even, for the sake of service. He took the position of servant of the servant of the servant. And then he returned to Navadvipa. And one of the first things he did when he arrived is he went to the house of Suklambar Brahmachari. And there he was crying in utter humility, "Where is Krishna? I do not have Krishna. I wasted my life. And finally, by causeless mercy, I saw him, but he left me." He asked Suklambar Brahmachari, "Is anyone in this house?" He said, "Your dear servant, Gadadhar Pandit, is here." Lord Chaitanya went to Gadadhar, who was laying on the floor, seeing the Lord's condition. He said, "Oh, Gadadhar, you are such a saintly person. From your very birth, you have been constantly meditating on Krishna. but I am such a fool. My life is worthless. I have been chasing after the useless pleasures and positions of this material world. But then, by the Lord's causeless mercy, I was able to see him. But due to my impious, sinful karma, he left me. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was appreciating the glories of his devotees. And he was considering himself to be bereft of any real love. This is not only the genuine expression of the way people feel in the spiritual world, but it's an instruction of how we must feel. The safe process of Krishna consciousness is to feel oneself completely bereft of any real devotion. If you think you have devotion, it's not real. It's shadow devotion. If you feel yourself having no devotion, but you're able to appreciate devotion in others, and you have no other aspiration in life except for devotion, that is the real progressive path of Krishna consciousness. It is our tendency that we want to have a respectable position in this world or in the spiritual abode. Raghunath Das Goswami is considered to be the most elevated personality of our sampradaya, in the sense that he is the Prayojana Guru, teaching the highest ecstasies of love of God. But what was Raghunath Das Goswami's mood? There was a very famous prayer of Raghunath Das Goswami where he was praying that I do not want to be a personal associate of Radha and Krishna. I have no qualification. I just want to be the servant of the servant of their servants. A devotee is always aspiring to take a lower position. Raghunath Das Goswami prayed, if the Lord by force puts me in a higher position in his personal service, then I will feel myself completely unqualified, and in my heart of heart I will always simply be aspiring to take the lower position of the servant of the servant of his servants. In Krishna consciousness, sometimes there is great turmoil in our society because people want a position. People want a position of control or respect from others. But a real devotee always aspires and longs for the lowest position. If you have that consciousness, you are Krishna conscious perfectly. And somehow or other, by higher powers, you may be put in a higher position. But in your heart, you should always be aspiring for the lowest position. That was Srila Prabhupada's mood. By his Guru Maharaj's order and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's inconceivable mercy, he was made into a world acharya, the spiritual master of the universe, on Krishna's behalf. But he simply wanted to be a servant. He was so humble, never proud of his knowledge, never proud of his abilities. Lord Chaitanya taught by his example. When he went to Jagannath Puri, there was an argument between Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Gopinathacharya, his brother-in-law. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya saw this child of only 24 years old has taken sannyas. How will he survive? He has such a long life ahead of him. And there are so many allurements in this world. I feel great affection for him. I want to teach him Vedanta so that he can discriminate between matter and spirit, between truth and illusion. And thus he will be protected from Maya. In fact, I can elevate him to a higher rank of sannyas. Gopinathacharya said, "What craziness are you speaking? You're going to protect him? You're going to elevate him? You think he needs a higher respectable rank of sannyas? He's the supreme personality of Godhead. He is incarnated in this world to deliver all living beings. He's the cause of all causes." Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "What, do you think I'm a fool? I know the Vedas. You're telling me?" In the age of Kali, there is no incarnation of God until Kalki Avatar. The Lord is Tri Yuga. He only appears in Tri Yugas, not in Kali. Gopinathacharya quoted from Mahabharata, quoted from Puranas, quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very, very expert at defeating all arguments. But he could not defeat Gopinathacharya. But at the same time, Gopinathacharya could not defeat him. So Gopinathacharya was very frustrated. He said, "Your brain is simply uselessly dried up by all this speculative philosophy. Until you get the mercy of the Lord, you will never understand that he's standing right before you." Sarvabhauma said, "You're my brother-in-law. Don't become so angry. We're just having a discussion." So then Gopinathacharya was very upset. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, "Why are you upset with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya? What he's saying is true. He loves me like a father. He's my guardian. He wants to protect me. Let him teach me Vedanta." He did not say, "I am God, what are you saying?" He said, "Please instruct me." He sat for 7 days and listened to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya speak Vedanta. In the mood of a student. And then, of course, we know Kalakanta Prabhu ki jai. Afterward, he manifested pure devotional service in the heart of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Similarly, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Varanasi, when he entered into the home of that Brahmin, he saw all the Mayavadi sannyasis headed by Prakashananda Saraswati sitting on raised platform. He is Parabrahman. Their ultimate goal of life is Aham Brahmasmi. But he is the Supreme Brahman. But to teach us a good lesson and to reveal the nectarine devotional sentiments of his own heart, he sat in the place where all the other sannyasis washed their feet. Prakashananda Saraswati saw from him an all-attractive effulgence. He said, Sripad, what are you doing? Why are you sitting in that lowly place? You're a sannyasi. You've taken in the line of the Shankar Sampradaya. Come and sit with us. The Lord said, I am not qualified to sit with you. I am properly situated right here. You are all great learned scholars. I am from a lower position. Prakashananda Saraswati had to personally lift him up to the higher platform. He said, why don't you study Vedanta and meditate with us? That is the duty of a sannyasi. Why are you with all these sentimentalists chanting and dancing? You are a disgrace to our sampradaya. The Lord said, you are great scholars, but my Guru Maharaj told me that I am a fool, that there's no use in me studying the holy scriptures because I'll never understand them. He told me that you should simply dance and constantly chant the holy names of God. And when Prakashananda Saraswati asked him to speak some philosophy, he totally defeated the entire Mayavad line. And Prakashananda, with his tens and thousands of disciples, all surrendered to him. We saw last night in the drama, when Ramchandra Puri, that fallen person, was criticizing, publicly condemning Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why are you eating so much? Sannyasis in your state are considered by me to be fallen. So Lord Chaitanya cut his eating in half. And the devotee said, why do you respond to that rascal? He said, why are you saying he's a rascal? He's my friend. He's like a father. He's the godbrother of my guru. He's trying to protect me. What he's saying is true. Sannyasi should not eat so much. And there is that great story where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after hearing materialistic people speaking materialistic subjects, he jumped in the river Ganges. And Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu dove in to pull him out. He said, why have you done this? I have no love for Krishna. If I had a single drop of love for Krishna, I would have died due to separation from him. But the fact that there is still breath in my mouth means I have no love. What is the use of my existence? This is Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishmana, Amani Namana Dena Kirtaniya Sadahari. It is the service attitude alone that attracts Krishna. Negative attracts positive. Positive repels positive. That we have seen in the combination of magnetic forces. If we think we are high, we will repel the high. If we think we are low, we will attract the high. This is service. So much tension comes even between devotees, because devotees want facilities, they want positions, they want respect, and therefore there's competition. But that is not real devotion. Real devotion is to be eager longing to take the lowest position of the servant of all others. And in that service, as Raghunath Das Goswami has said, if Krishna puts me in a high position, I will feel unqualified, but I'll do it as a service. But in my heart of hearts, I am always inclined toward the lower position. So, research your own heart. Is that your mood? To the extent it is, to that extent you have understood what is Krishna consciousness. This material world is a place where Maya, the illusory energy, is constantly trying to attract us to the charms of material pleasure. Even in the guise of spiritual culture. But we should know that those charms that seem so pleasing and satisfying are only Maya's way of robbing us and cheating us of the real treasure of the wealth of Krishna consciousness. Study the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Study the life of his genuine eternal servants. And you will find this constant theme. Trinadapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishnana, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. When we appreciate the devotees, and we feel ourselves bereft of devotion, when we are very much pleased to be with devotees, pleased to serve the devotees, that is the sign that we are really getting the mercy of Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended to bring us the Yuga Dharma, the congregational chanting of the holy names. And he has taught us what we should aspire for in chanting the holy names. Not enjoyment, but service. No other position but to be the lowliest servant. It is in that spirit alone that we can constantly experience the love of Krishna through the chanting of his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Guru Purnima is the time when we absorb our hearts in the worship of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But let us absorb our hearts in living our life in such a way that we will bring satisfaction to the heart of Sri Guru and Krishna. Today we are blessed by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada with several of his very dear followers. We have welcomed them all on several occasions. Briefly, let us welcome them again. We have Kalakanta Prabhu, who is just a wonderful, wonderful Vaishnav. He's here with his good family. Very dedicated, willing to accept so many thankless tasks in the service of our Krishna consciousness society, and a true friend of all Vaishnavas. Let us welcome Kalakanta Prabhu. And we have His Grace Mahamuni Prabhu, one of the great legendary generals of our book distribution. Let us welcome very enthusiastically Mahamuni Prabhu. Tranakarta Prabhu. Wonderful. He's becoming almost like a resident here. One of the very famous book distributors and protectors of our Dharma. Let us welcome His Grace Tranakarta Prabhu. On this blessed occasion, Srila Prabhupada has sent one of his confidential associates. Let us very wholeheartedly welcome His Holiness Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj.
Vansya kapata rupya sakhi pasindu revata tita nama pavevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. When we hear such wonderful lectures about the essence of Krishna consciousness, then we can see why there are so many wonderful devotees. Some people speak philosophy, Some people live philosophy and then they share philosophy. So we have, in the personality of your Guru Maharaj, one who lives philosophy and then speaks philosophy. So therefore it always goes to the heart. So I'll try to think of something that he said, do not to destroy the mood. In the example of Sridhar Kolavecha, we see also the mood of the servant of the servant. Simplicity. But at the same time, the opulence connected with simplicity. Where he was very impoverished. And he had such a menial occupation that he was just simply making plantain cups. Cups from plantain leaves. And he was selling these and getting almost nothing from the sale. But at the same time, he was very meticulously, conscientiously engaging in 50% of what he collected to use in service to the Ganges. And we see that his dedication, his humility, and his appreciation of using what Krishna had made available. Not in a grudging mood, not in complaining, or not thinking that I will serve better once I acquire something better. Sometimes we have the mood, yes, yes, I will serve better, but after I acquire so many things. Sometimes we allow the obstacles that are genuinely there, but we allow them to distract us. But Krishna has arranged the fields of activities, and those fields of activities are there to see if we are still ready to serve. Sometimes we are ready to serve when we have many, many things, and when Krishna takes away also, our service activity and service attitude is taken away. That is, we take it away. Sometimes Krishna gives, and we are serving nicely when we don't have. Sometimes someone is so dedicated, they engage in so many austerities. It's like one of the devotees was telling me when I was coming from the airport, how at one of the temples, where they're having Ganesh food. So the devotees, sometimes they walk miles and miles, austerity, to come to the temple so that certain material desires can be fulfilled. So sometimes people will be extremely dedicated when they are not having certain things. And then once they get those things, the dedication goes. Sometimes one is very dedicated. They get big, big inheritance. Now, no time for Krishna. So Krishna, same Krishna, he gives and sometimes he takes away. And he is watching to see, are we still ready and enthusiastically there to serve? And in many cases, no, we may not be so enthusiastically ready to serve. So Sri Kolavetcha, his devotion was so intense that it attracted literally the association, direct association of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya came to him because bhakti attracts Bhagavan. And he was so, himself so amazed at the dedication and purity of his servants. Just like in the drama that we just saw. How Lord Chaitanya was so amazed that Srivas' own son has passed. But he did not waver his appreciation of the holy name, his dedication to Sadhu Sangha, his desire to be with the Lord and to give all that he could, even his son. And because of that, we see the love of Lord Chaitanya, of how the Lord is so amazed in how he gives and even revitalizes, brings back to life the son. The power of the competition that goes on in the Lord wanting to serve and serving his devotee, and the devotee wanting to serve and serving the Lord, and this competition goes on. But Krishna wins. And that he gives more service. His law is there, but his mercy is greater than his law. And what he arranges for us is beyond what our ultimate quality is. So when Mahaprabhu himself asked what he could do for Sridhar Kolavetcha, wanting to serve, wanting to give something. But of course, such servants, what do they need? They do not want just things. They do not want bhukti, mukti, siddhi. Because actually they're most intelligent. They want the highest. They do not want to take something piecemeal. Because they know that the highest is the opulences of bhakti, is the wealth of bhakti, is the power and the potency of unalloyed devotion. The power of always remembering Krishna. And so therefore, he asked for the highest. To be able to remember unflinchingly. And so, this humility connects itself literally with the highest strength and the highest boons. But it is somewhat hidden. Because it is not so accessible for those who are just simply trying to come to Krishna to enjoy the Shakti rather than to serve the Shaktiman. So Maya for Krishna has many ways to bring out or to put aside those who are not really wanting the association and service with the Shaktiman, the Samambana. And so we can find many, many reasons to not to give ourselves fully. And as we find those reasons, then this is a sign that those reasons and those things are more important for us than acquiring the greatest treasure. And so Krishna arranges, oh, You want to know me? 25%. Here's a way. Here's association. Here's a philosophy. Here's an environment. You want to know me? 50%. Here's a teaching. Here's a shastra. Here's saints. Here's an audience. Here's an opportunity for that. You want me fully? Here is an opportunity. I will come myself as the devotee to be with you and to show you how to acquire me fully. And so, as we were saying this morning, this is the Chaitanya Leela of Krishna coming himself to interact with us in such ways to show us. In one of the nighttime kirtan activities we see in Srivastakura's house, remember the story of this one austere young brahmana who kept asking Srivastakura about coming. And Srivastakura compassionately invited him. But he asked him to remain surreptitious, to hide. And so, just as in the drama, Mahaprabhu was not feeling the same flow of ecstasy. That he has realized that there is something extremely special about the unalloyed devotees of the Lord. There is something that is within them individually. There is something that is extremely powerful as they come together, aggregate together. And they distinctly influence the environment. Because their own love is spilling over in the environment. And so as Lord Chaitanya was feeling something a little different that was spilling over, it came to his attention. There is something that is not in the natural order of our association. And then it was revealed that this austere, dedicated brahmana had been invited. And Lord Chaitanya heard later about him that he was very austere, he was only taking milk. But Lord Chaitanya made it clear, it is not by austerities that one can attain my mercy. It is not by jnana. It is not by yoga. It is not by tapa. But the young brahmachari, he was so engladdened just to have had a few moments of association, of being able to hear and to see these great devotees dancing and singing with the Lord. His life, he felt totally complete just to have a few moments of being able to be in that environment. And he left. He did not complain. He did not hold a grudge. He did not think, I am worthy based on my austerity. I am worthy because I've been invited. I am worthy because I am dedicated. And why are you not allowing me this opportunity? He showed his worthiness by his proper behavior, of thinking that he was unworthy and being happy that he was able to get a moment of association. And so, based on his consciousness, Lord Chaitanya invited him back and allowed him to come each night to associate. Because his quality was of such a nature that it could become a part of this potency that was being shared. His own effort, along with the additional mercy that he received based on the situation he was in and how he responded. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his foot and put his own foot on the boy's head. And the devotees themselves, they were in awe. They were amazed. They were crying. They were so amazed at the mercy that Lord Chaitanya was bestowing. So this is Lord Chaitanya appearing in what is called the Sakshat. He appears in three various ways. Sakshat, Avesha, and Avibhava. The Sakshat is his direct appearance. As he has come, Radha, Krishna, now is one. In the bhava of Srimati Radharani. And sometimes Avesha, he empowers others. Just like Shaktavesha. So one can become One category is one can become so much of the servant of the servant, one can have such a desire to want to help, such a desire to want to serve, but one's desire to serve may not be, one's ability to serve may not be effective enough to do the kind of services necessary. But the desire is so great. Just like sometimes someone is trying to do business, they have small capital. They have big desire. So sometimes they connect with someone who has bigger capital. Now they put their capital together and they're able to do. So sometimes one may not have so much, but the desire is so big to serve the Lord as servant of the servant, to help with the service healing process. That then the Lord sees, oh, someone is trying to serve me. Someone is trying to help me do my work. Let me give them more facility internally to do the work. And therefore, some of Krishna himself goes into the form, the dehi of that particular personality. And therefore, one does amazing things because they become as like a puppet because they have so much desire to serve and their desire is so strong, but their capacity is not sufficient. And therefore, Krishna compliments the power of the servant of the servant. And so Krishna is doing, but he is using the particular body, the particular atmosphere to do his work. Then there's the Arya Bhava, the last category. And in this category is when Lord Chaitanya is not physically there. He is not putting some of himself into one, but the person is being used as the person is thinking of Lord Chaitanya, serving Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is using that person, and that person helps others to think of him. The presence is there, even though he does not physically connect, but he is also being used. When Lord Nityananda dances, the dance is so much of a service of bonding of love that Lord Chaitanya's presence is felt. In Raghava Pandit's house, Lord Chaitanya's presence. When Sachi Mata cooks in her own little temple room and kitchen, when she's offering, Lord Chaitanya is there. And he explains that he invisibly, that he comes. When the bhakti is so strong, of such a nature, that it can invite the Lord in such a wonderful way. Was it Nisringa Das Brahmachari? Is it Nisringa Nukula? Nisringananda. That's Brahmachari. Once Shivananda Sena had been hearing how he was acting very unusual. Some divine intervention was taking place. And so he wanted to see for himself. We as devotees should always be trying to hear, trying to understand where the higher bhakti is, to connect with it, to experience it. We are spiritual scientists. We're not to be mundane critics. We're not to be fault finders. But we are to be constantly looking and searching for the love, looking for the bhakti, be hungry for it. And so we see sometimes the devotees of the Lord, they qualify individuals and situations because they want the real thing. And so Shivananda Sena, he approached and he was thinking, so if this Brahmachari actually does, in fact, is endowed with such blessings and divine intervention of Mahaprabhu, then he will understand my mind. He will know my mantra. And so, of course, the Arya Bhava presence was there. And he explained that he was chanting this special Gopal mantra. So, as the mood of servant of the servant, it will show in the quality of behavior. It will show in what it will draw, because divine intervention and divine mercy will be there. So let us all try to take these instructions so much to heart. You are fortunate because you hear them regularly. I do also, because I hear his tapes all the time. The tape is as wonderful almost as being with them. Almost. There is something special also about being personally with them. But as we hear these, we can take it more and more to our hearts, so that we can keep simplifying our lives and grabbing to the essence. And as we do that, then we experience the essence more and more of Mahaprabhu's presence, whether it's Shakshat, or whether it's Avesha, or Avirbhav. Last thing is that when Krishna comes, we see Krishna, he demands surrender, yes? Sabadama paratiyaj, the mami kam savanam vajra. He kills the demons and then he liberates them. But we see that Lord Chaitanya, he gives out the mercy and he liberates even without killing. Jagai and Marai, they were big demons. He did not kill them, but he made them devotees. We see in the case of the Mayavadis and Varshana that he gave them benediction. The Brahmana who had see the leprosy, also similar. So how merciful. So we want to catch up with that mercy. In these wonderful days we are focusing Gaur Purnima and thinking more and more about Chaitanya Leela and having a chance to literally to add a chapter to Mahaprabhu's pastimes. This wonderful society that Srila Prabhupada has given us, this wonderful knowledge that is being spread all over the world. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave this message in Bharatvarsa. And he explained how his Mantra Upasaka, or his Senapati Bhakta, would appear and would distribute throughout the rest of the world. And so we can understand that the wonderful opportunity we have of being able to associate with Srila Prabhupada to do this. So just as in Surah Kulavecha's case, just as in the young Brahmanas, that whatever our situation is, so we maintain this consciousness of humility, servitudeship, and use the best we can what Krishna has given us, then he will do the rest. But if we find many reasons to wait or procrastinate, then we are not being the servant of something because we are thinking that we are to have or something is due to us, and when it has come to us, then we will do. But Krishna is not fooled like that. He is not interested in the mixed devotion. He wants to give the full love, and he wants to receive our full love. And as being the servants, we are positioning ourselves to receive all, and therefore, as he is giving, we are not interfering. Our whole existence is somehow how to not to interfere. Srila Prabhupada ki, Vaishnava Thakur ki, Gaur Purnima, Eva Gaur Purnima ki.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
It is a great privilege to be here with His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, my dear God brothers, all devotees, Shishi Radha Gopinath Mandir. We've just come from Mayapur and we had the option to be in Mayapur or to be at Radha Gopinath Mandir for Gaur Purnima. So we decided to come here for all of the wonderful Vaishnav Sangha. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is such that he did what no other incarnation has done, no other guru had done. He broke down all the distinctions. Sarvapati Vinir Muktam Tatpara Twaina Nirmalam Rishikesha Rishikeno Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the ideal preacher of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because this is the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a universal message for everyone, regardless of their birth, regardless of their gender, regardless of their race, regardless of their social status. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the one who broke down all these barriers and made it possible for the whole world to be Krishna conscious. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Maharaj was so nicely explaining, just emphasized this devotional service. Because this is the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Swanushti tasya dharmasya sam siddhir haritoshanam. Regardless of one's position, regardless of one's occupation, regardless of one's whole situation in life, the test of our life is whether or not Krishna is pleased with us. We may be something wonderful externally, or we may be something so insignificant. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he is Krishna himself, can relate with every one of us regardless. This is Trinadapi Sunichena. Maharaj was speaking about Kulavecha Sridhar. He was so poor. He was very poor. He only had this little business for selling banana leaves, banana roots, banana cups. And half of what he earned he spent in a seva. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come to him and he would inspect the goods. Then he would say, "You please give me this at half the price." And Kulavecha would say, "But you know, I have my family. I can't do that." He said, "You please go and buy from somebody else at that price." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, "But why should I change? I have a good supplier." Their loving relationship was so wonderful and thick. Externally, who was Kulavecha Sridhar? He was the most impoverished person. Then on the other hand, there was Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Most opulent person. In his early Navadvip Leela, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sometimes say his name. So one of his devotees, Gadadhar, would hear him say, "It's Pundarik, Pundarik." And he asked, "Who is this Pundarik?" So one of Chaitanya's devotees said, "I'll take you to see him." So he brought Gadadhar in. Gadadhar, of course, was very austere. That was his quality, very renounced. And in they came to see Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Pundarik was there with his entourage, many servants. There were some fanning him with yak tails, with chamara, and with peacock fan. He was sitting on a very nice seat. Either side, he had spittoons. He was chewing betel plants. Everything very opulent. And Gadadhar immediately thought, "Who is this person?" This couldn't be the same Pundarik that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing. But then just to demonstrate this devotee, who was the devotee, do you remember? Mukunda. Mukunda, he recited a verse from Bhagavatam about how Putantana got the same liberation as Mother Yashoda. He recited this verse. And just by hearing it, Pundarik went into ecstasy. He fell from his lofty seat, knocked over the plants, knocked over the spittoons, the servants were trying to revive him. And seeing this, Gadadhar immediately realized, "I've made a great offense." So then he begged Pundarik for diksha. So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed for the rich man, for the poor man, for everyone. He spread Krishna consciousness throughout the Indian subcontinent. And as Srila Prabhupada said, he very kindly left the rest of the world for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. In the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the tradition of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada comes, and like no one before him, he breaks down even more barriers. In 1975, Srila Prabhupada visited Atlanta. He was on a world tour. You remember Maharaj? So he came in and sat down on the Vyasasana. And there in Atlanta, devotees had gathered from all over. The temple room was packed. So at that time, the deities in Atlanta were Gornitai. Big, beautiful Gornitai deities. So Prabhupada sat down on the Vyasasana and he said, "So I have just come from Mexico, Caracas, Miami, And of all the temples, he said, your temple is the best. And seeing all these devotees, many of them for the first time, he became very overwhelmed with emotion. Seeing how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was attractive to everybody, all these mlechas, all these foreigners. And with tears in his eyes, he said, so just serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and make your life perfect. Krishna comes and he demands surrender, he said. Sarva dharmam parichaya, mame kam sharanam braja. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so kind, he does not demand. So take the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and make your life perfect. Thank you very much. Thanks. In this way, Srila Prabhupada showed us. You thought I was finished, didn't you? I'm sorry to disappoint you. Srila Prabhupada showed us how very fortunate we are to be connected with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It would have not been possible for us to understand Krishna. There were so many editions of Bhagavad Gita. Since, you know, hundreds of years, people have been reading them in other countries, but no one became a devotee of Krishna. Not one person. Until Srila Prabhupada connected us with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the great mercy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent us Srila Prabhupada. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we can get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are so many organizations and societies, but if you look, they are generally always limited to one race, one creed, one nationality. And therefore, there's nothing transcendent. There's nothing that invokes the mood of Trinadapi Sunichena, to truly see others as spirit soul, to worship everyone as Krishna's part and parcel. There's no consciousness of such things because it's all based on the body. So this ISKCON society, following in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's footsteps, following in Srila Prabhupada's footsteps, this can be the society that changes the world and changes the course of history by breaking down these barriers and bringing people together in true harmony on the basis of real knowledge. That is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and is that mood that I pray your life will be infused with, because Gaur Purnima is the new year for all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So may the coming year be blessed for you by this great mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna.
Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itanamne Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pacharani Nirvisesha Sunyavani Pastadyadisatara. It says in Bhagavad Gita that Krishna appears in this world to annihilate the demons and to protect the devotees, take them back home, back to Godhead. And in Krishna Leela, and also Krishna appears on the earth, he has two missions. Like I just said, he protects the devotees, takes them back home, and he annihilates the demons. So like in Krishna Leela, I was thinking of the story of Jarasandha. I was telling that story yesterday in Bhagavatam class about how Krishna defeated him 18 times and each time arrested him just to humiliate him and then let him go. But the demoniac mentality is thinking that I can trick God. I am better than God. So when Krishna, in letting him go, Krishna had a plan also to deliver his devotee, Muchikunda. Muchikunda was a great, great king, a great devotee of the Lord. Actually, he was born in the dynasty of Lord Ramachandra. So he was fighting for many hundreds of years for the demigods, fighting very hard for them. The demons were attacking the demigods. Muchikunda left his kingdom and all his opulence and gave everything up, very unattached to everything, simply to help the demigods in their great fight. So he fought for hundreds of years, and when they were finished, the demigods asked him, "We want to give you benedictions. Anything you want, we can give you. Except we can't give you liberation. That can only be awarded by Lord Krishna, by Mukunda." So Muchikunda thought, he said, "I've been fighting for so long, let me tell you, I'm very tired. I simply want to go to sleep." So they said, and he said, "Also, if anybody wakes me up, I will burn them to ashes with my glance." So the demigods gave him this benediction, and he went into a cave and he went to sleep. So Krishna, in the battle, one battle with Jarasandha, he fled the battlefield and he was running. And Jarasandha said, "Now I will get him. Now I can catch Krishna." So he's thinking he can catch the Lord. He's running after Krishna. But like in Isha Upanishad it says, although fixed in his abode, the personality of Godhead is swifter than the mind. He can overcome all others running. The powerful demigods cannot approach him. Although in one place he controls those who supply the air and the rain, he surpasses all in excellence. So nobody can catch Krishna. Nobody is more powerful than Krishna. So here's Jarasandha. He's just getting close. He's thinking, "Now I'll catch him." And then Krishna would appear a little further ahead. He couldn't get him. So Krishna runs up the mountain, into the cave, and somehow, by his mystic potency, keeps his effulgence down, otherwise the whole cave would have been lit up. So Muchikunda comes in, and it's very dark, and he sees someone laying there, so he thinks it's Krishna. So he kicks Muchikunda, and Muchikunda wakes up and burns him to ashes with his glance, fulfilling his benediction from the demigods. And then Lord Krishna appeared before him, actually in his forearm form, and the whole cave was lit up by the effulgence of Krishna. And Muchikunda offered him so many beautiful prayers. And Prabhupada says in Krishna book that this is how Krishna comes to earth and fulfills the desires of his devotees and liberates his devotees and kills the demons. So Krishna killed Muchikunda in that way and liberated his great devotee. Killed Jarasandha in that way and liberated his great devotee, Muchikunda. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to earth also to kill the demons, but not physically. He came to kill the demoniac mentality that is within all of us. So he distributed this Krishna consciousness movement all over India and waited. Actually, I was thinking, Columbus was looking for India but came to America. And the reason he let Columbus come to America was so he could glorify Srila Prabhupada, to send him here at a perfect time and place to spread Krishna consciousness movement. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and destroyed the demoniac mentality by distributing the holy names of the Lord to everybody. And the process of Krishna consciousness is so sweet and so nice. You're simply chanting and dancing and ecstatic love for Krishna, serving the Vaishnavas in a humble way. There's six items that Krishna demands from us in Krishna consciousness. That we accept everything favorable for Krishna consciousness. Reject everything that is unfavorable. That we have firm faith in the protection of the Lord. That we have no interest outside the interests of the Lord. And that we're exclusively dependent on the mercy of the Lord. And the sixth item is to be always meek and humble, which these great devotees have touched on this. So we all know how important it is to be the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. And then Krishna will allow us to sing his holy names and to feel that love that comes from singing the holy names. So Srila Prabhupada came to America and wrote and translated all of these books. So many books we have. If you look back in the case, how many books Prabhupada translated, it's mind-boggling. And he wanted us to read these books, but not just read them, the words go in one ear and out the other, but actually to study them and understand what they mean. So when we tell people about the holy names, we can actually have some potency behind our words. And when we tell them how sweet Krishna's name is, there is some potency behind our words. So I can say to all of you, that you take this holy name of Krishna and these teachings of Srila Prabhupada, and wherever you go in this world and whoever you meet, you simply try to give them Krishna consciousness and spread this Krishna consciousness movement. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
No problem. 2.5, I'm good. Hare Krishna. I've been trying to prepare for this Gaur Purnim, and I've been reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I was reading the external reasons why Lord Chaitanya appeared. And fortunately, I was able to read with other devotees. And the more I read about the external reasons, and the more I read, I began to understand a little bit of my own frailties from Prabhupada's purports. Bhaktitirtha Maharaj, in America, it's called busted. If you're caught doing something, and you're busted. And he, when he was speaking, I was busted here. I've been praying to Lord Chaitanya all last couple weeks, week, all week, praying to Lord Chaitanya to help me understand this, his appearance. And I've been reading and chanting, and I had opportunity to associate with some godbrothers, senior godbrothers, about a week ago. And something in my heart just kind of twisted the wrong way. I don't know how to explain. I don't want to go into the details. But I was twisted inside. And I was like offended by something. And I couldn't let it go. I'm thinking, how to let this go? Just let it go. You're the servant of the servant. You've been giving lip service to this. Just let it go. But I couldn't let it go. And I couldn't let it go. And finally I thought I let it go, but what I did is I just kind of pushed it further back in the back of my mind. But as I'm sitting here listening to Radhanath Maharaj speak, and then Bhaktitirtha Maharaj, he got out the knife and went right after my infection. He dug it right out. That this lack of humility, I pay lip service to the idea that I'm just happy to be part of the devotees. You know, just want to be here. And I don't care if I'm in the back of the line, I just want to be in the line and be happy. But I realized that I didn't feel happy to be with my God brothers. I didn't see how fortunate I was to be just in the association of all these senior Vaishnavs who were giving so much. I got hooked on one little thing that ordinarily wouldn't bother me at all, but for some reason, Krishna twisted it inside and made me, for days I suffered. I talked to a couple different people, how to get rid of this, what is wrong with me? And here I'm sitting, and I've been reading this Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then I get to the internal, or the confidential reasons Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears. And then I started, someone told me, well, this Padyatra is coming to Juhu. And so I started, as I read the confidential pastimes, or the reasons, and the external reasons, I started praying in the mood of the Vaishnav that somehow I'm the most fallen. And if you can come and attack this thing within my heart that's twisted, that's not letting me appreciate the devotees. And then I started preaching again, lip service, about that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is walking all over India, and he's walked now into Bombay. And he's coming to the Juhu Temple. He's coming here next week, so you get ready also. But the idea is that it's not some deity or some wood or stone walking around India. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, who's coming to Juhu. And he's appearing for our benefit. We're crying, we're the most fallen, please come. Now he's coming. I'm praying, please let me see that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead walking into Juhu. So yesterday I've been sick, and I've used that as an excuse for this twisted thing in my heart, but it didn't work. But I was afraid to go out. There were a 4-hour walk into Ju. I'm thinking, I'll never be able to walk 4 hours. I'll go at the last hour. And I waited until the last hour, and I caught a rickshaw and went. And as I got out of the rickshaw, it was like one devotee described it last night as the Dom coming down this street. I got out of the rickshaw, and I was just immediately hit by something extraordinary. And I was sucked into this group of chanting madmen. And these big oxen with these huge horns pushing me forward. I was afraid to stop, and I tried to look at the Lord, but the oxen were pushing. And then finally I was able to look up, and I realized this is not ordinary scene in the streets of Bombay. This is the Supreme Lord and the Holy Dom descending upon Juhu. So, and then last night I prayed to him, and I prayed this morning, and then I had opportunity to come here. I just came so I could see the devotees and maybe hear a little bit. But I didn't realize that they were going to pluck out this poison that's been in my heart for the last week. And I'm sitting here weakened by listening to them, thinking, God, that's it, that's it. And I want to thank them so much. And it's just somehow or another, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to see that the devotees are not ordinary people. They are actually associates of the Supreme Lord. And he works through them. And he works through all the devotees. And he changes the minds and the hearts of the non-devotee. By working through the book distributor, by working through the preacher, and by working through the advanced devotees. He is changing even stone hearts like my own. He is digging out with this knife these poisons. And we must see that Krishna is appearing in his transcendental form with all of his potency, with all of his paraphernalia, all of his pastimes. They are non-different. As we hear the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described here today, this is the spiritual world. This is non-different than the spiritual world. It is not mundane story. This is the spiritual world. You are now in the spiritual world. Prabhupada said, when you're in the temple, and that is the holiest place. There's so many dhams, but this is the dham. The Supreme Lord has appeared here, and this is the Dham. So when the pastimes are being described about the Lord, know for sure you are not in the material world, and these are not ordinary people.